أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله بنفسي بتقوى الله. In the first khutbah, I would like to talk about the total lunar eclipse, which is going to happen on Monday night, Tuesday early morning, between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. And this will be already Tuesday in our region, and therefore it will become wajib to do Salatul Ayat. When we look at the term itself, Salatul Ayat, the prayer for the signs, referring to the signs of Allah's power and glory. And this is actually reflecting this phenomenon which has been in human history from past, because many people, when they would see this natural phenomenon, you know, they would be afraid and they would be scared. And eventually this ended up, you know, for some nations in the past to worship the celestial bodies. So you have star worshippers, sun worshippers in the past. You see the example of the people during the days of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In the life of our own Prophet, in the 10th year of the Hijrah, the Prophet was blessed with a son by Maria Qibtiyya, and he was about 3 or 4 years old when he passed away in Medina. And on that day, there was a solar eclipse. And people started, you know, making remarks that this eclipse happened as a sign of grief and mourning for the passing away of Ibrahim, the son of, young son of the Prophet. When the Prophet heard about it, he actually goes to the member and he said, "Inna shamsa wal qamar ayatan min ayatillah." Remember, the sun and the moon, these are the signs, two signs from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجْرِيَانِ بِأَمْرِهِ يُطِيعَانِ لَهُ. They flow in this space by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are subservient and they are in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَنْكَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. You know, this eclipse of the sun or the moon doesn't happen because of the passing away of someone or because of the birth of someone else. No. فَإِذَا إِنْكَسَفَتَ أَوَاحِدَةً مِنْهُمَا فَصَلُّ. Whenever there is eclipse of the sun or the moon, then you have to do salat. And this is what is known as Salatul Ayat. And so Islam very clearly, you know, makes it on a practical level that we are not to worship anything as far as the objects created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. We are not supposed to worship any human being either, or animal. And everything that we see, these are the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should remind us of His power and glory. And this is where we see that, you know, one of the greatness of the Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is that if he was just a politician, he would have actually, you know, exploited this phenomenon. that, you know, even Allah is kind of grieving with me on the passing away of my son. He didn't do that. He goes on the member and says, no, this eclipse has nothing to do with the death or life of anyone. It's just a coincidence that it happened at that time, because we see, you know, people in the past, even the present, actually misuse sometimes these coincidences in their lives. Columbus, you know, when he came to the Americas first time, when the natives refused to supply him anymore, you know, he knew these calculations, and he knew that there is, you know, the eclipse going to happen at this time, whether it was the day or night, I don't remember, but in that story, he says that, okay, if you don't supply us with the food and items that we need, you will see God will be angry with you at this time. And he exactly knew by his calculations, you know, he was actually a sailor, a captain of the ship. And the eclipse happened, and they were very much afraid. They said, oh, you know, God is becoming angry with us. And they agreed to supply Columbus with whatever he wanted. And so we see this, and I think I would like to use that sometimes people, even in religious communities, misuse certain powers that they might have. But when it is misused, that is where the issue is, you know, the example of Samiri. Who was Samiri? Samiri is one of the elders of Bani Israel during the time of Musa alayhi salam. You know, one of the biggest tests for the people of Musa alayhi salam, for Bani Israel, was that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa that you come to me for 30 days. And he, you know, basically told his people, I've been called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I'll be gone for 30 days. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, without even informing Bani Israel, asked Musa, 10 more days, you just stay here. In those 10 days, things happened back wherever, you know, the Bani Israel were at that moment. And we know the whole story. That the people who were mawahid, who were worshippers of one God, you know, they were misguided by an elder from the community by the name of Samiri. You know, he took their gold, molded it into the shape of a calf, and he started asking them that, you know, Musa is not going to come back. He's not a true prophet. And this is your God. You know, pray to it. Worship this statue. And he had done something where there was even a sound coming from that statue of calves. When Musa alayhi salam comes back, and this is in Surah number 20, ayat 95-96, Musa, Sahib Shariyat, the first prophet who came with a very elaborate, you know, Sharia from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was very angry with the attitude of his people. You know, from Mawahid, they become worshippers of a statue. This is the worst that you can think about. And so when he was told that it is Samiri who has done all this, Musa alayhi salam turns to Samiri and he says, and these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran, قَالَ فَمَا خَطْبُكَ يَا Samiri? You know, what is the matter with you, Samiri? Why you have done this? And there Samiri then disclosed the method that he used to influence, you know, the common people. He says, قَالَ بَصَرْتُ بِمَا لَمْ يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. He says, I saw something that they didn't have the ability to see. So he was on a higher level, whether it's knowledge or taqwa, whatever at that time. And he was referring to coming of Jibreel coming to Musa alayhi salam. He says, I was able to see Jibreel. فَقَبَضْتُ قَبْضَةً مِنْ أَصْرِ الرَّسُولِ. This messenger of Allah who came to you, I saw him. And when he left, I basically picked up the dust or the earth from where he was standing. You know, that's where I picked up. And he says, فَنَّبَثْتُهَا وَكَذَلِكَ سُوِّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. This is what he used in the statue of the calf to create this sound. And so this is where he says, you know, then I was basically misguided by my own evil dimension of my soul. And so this story of Samiri tells us that you can have a person who is learned and who is spiritual, but he is seduced by his own selfish desires, and he misuses the knowledge that he has in order to, you know, capture the people and even misguide them. And this is where, although we see a positive side of the story, that entities like Malaika have their own impact of barakat. A place where Malaika just stood, you know, the earth under that became powerful enough by Samiri to use it for his own so-called, you know, miracle or karamat. And so what about the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But we have to be, you know, very careful about these issues. And it's not a phenomenon of the past. You know, in the last few years, even here in North America, in our own community, you know, there are, and I can't name, or but a lady comes, for example, in the GTA area during Muharram and Safar and says, you know, I can do some karamat, recite this zikr with me on the tray which has, you know, flour, atta on it. And the more you recite it, you will see the name of Ali coming up, or the shape of Zulfiqar is coming up, you know, as if somebody is drawing on it. And, you know, she captures the attention of the ladies. And what happens? They become, in a way, her muqallid. Because later on, what she says, okay, now in tashahud, you have to say, after ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu, now you have to also recite ashhadu anna Aliyan waliullah. You know, so that's how we have to realize that, you know, we have to be careful with the fake medical doers, and even if it's done in the name of religion, we should know what are the authentic sources of knowing what is haq and what is batil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand what is haq and what is batil, and be among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'in. إن أحسن الحديث كتاب الله العزيز بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم إن شاء الله on Monday those who are on the mailing list of the Jamaat you'll be receiving the timings as well as the method of doing Salatul Ayat. And since it is a total eclipse, it is wajib on everyone. In the second khutbah, I would like to just very briefly go through one statement of our 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wa salam. Whose birth anniversary we'll be celebrating tonight. Tomorrow is the day of his wiladat. In a hadith, he talks about some of the important themes as far as our akhlaq is concerned, and what is the essence of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He begins by saying, "Usikum, I advise you, bi taqwallah." Number one, the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is almost an ongoing theme in the sayings of our Imams as well as the Quran. Especially if you look at Nahjul Balagha, probably one of the most common word used if you go through the search is the issue of taqwa. And remember that Ali himself is known as Imamul Muttaqeen, the Imam of those who are on the path of taqwa. And when we talk about taqwa, although the literal translation, which is done by many translators even in the Quran when they translate the words ittaqullah, literally it's the right translation when they say fear Allah. But it's actually not the sense of fearing the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I would just explain it by adding the words that what it means is that fear displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a fear based on your love for Allah. If I love somebody, I don't want to do something which is going to hurt that person or displease that person. We can't hurt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but and that is the concept of taqwa, which actually is based on this sense of being always aware of His presence in our life. The moment when we commit sins, if we go back and reflect on it, we'll come to realize that at that moment, Allah was not in my consciousness. If He was there, I wouldn't have done what I did. And so taqwa, that means that, you know, being aware of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that is the foundation of our, you know, practical life in Islam. Number two, he says, wal wara' fi dinikum. You know, exercising precaution in matters of your religion. And this is a point which I emphasize all the time, because living in this society where everything is, you know, open and free, you are free, you have the freedom to do whatever you want, the temptation is there quite a lot. And we are challenged more and more. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, there is a bare minimum that we have to follow, but there is also something known as wara. And wara means that whenever you find yourself in a gray area, what do you do? If you answer a faqih, he will say, well, it's halal or haram. It's not haram, for example. But the Imam is saying you have to go even a level higher. And you have to exercise a wara', exercise precaution, which means that if it is a gray area, do ihtiyat and stay away from it. Number three, well, ijtihad lillah. You know, whenever you do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, put your full, you know, attention to it, your efforts at the highest level. Number four, now all these three things, taqwa and wara and ijtihad lillah, these are all personal issues. Then, now he comes to two issues which are related to our interaction with others. Number one, which is number four in the list here, was sidqul hadith, truthfulness in speech. Whatever you say, whenever you say it, make sure you are, you know, speaking sidq and on the basis of truth. Wa ada il amana, number five, you know, to fulfill the trust. Ila man i'tamanakum min birrin aw fajir. when it comes to the issue of amanat, somebody has given something to you in trust, you have to make sure you fulfill that by giving it back to that person, irrespective of the character of that person. Whether he is a good person, a righteous person, or fajir, or is a sinful person. You know, that's not our issue. If he is sinful, it's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have not been given the right to take away his property. It belongs to him. When the time comes to give back to him, you cannot say, well, I'll see whether you're a good person or a bad person. And these are the two characteristics for which the Prophet was known even before Islam. He was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. And this is where we have to realize that, especially when we talk about, you know, dealing with others, unfortunately, there was this understanding and people were, you know, very much talking about this issue, oh, you know, Malik Kafir Halal. We have to be careful about it. You know, whether the person is Bir or Fajr, you know, Muslim or non-Muslim, when it comes to Amanat, Amanat is Amanat. And that trust is there and you have to fulfill it in the right way. Number six, again coming to the personal issue and part of what we call personal spiritual development, he says, وَطُولِ السُّجُودِ, prolonging the sajda. You can't do that in Jamaat prayers. This more refers to when you are doing the Nafila prayers on your own. You know, there the recommendation is don't only say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. You can always multiply that. You know, 6 times, 9 times, 12 times, 15 times, as long as you want. And that's on a personal level. So Tulus Sujood is one of the items that Imam mentions there. And finally, he says, going back to the social interaction, about Husn al-Jawar, you know, to be a good neighbor. And this has been emphasized even in Quran. I think it's Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 32, if I'm not forgetting the number, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this issue of neighbors. He says you could have a neighbor who is, of the same faith as yourself, as well as your relative. Or it could be just your neighbor who is not your relative, but from the same community. Or it could be a neighbor who is neither a relative nor a Muslim, for example. But in all cases, you have to have good neighborly relationship. And this is where, you know, this, when we talk about the stereotyping against Muslims is concerned, one of the best ways of responding to that is by our own akhlaq. If you have a non-Muslim neighbor and you are good to that person, if he hears things about Muslims, he will always remember you. And he will say, well, you know, this is maybe one individual's problem. And he would not attribute that to the faith of Islam or the Muslim community in general. And so Husnul Jawar is an important issue that Imam has mentioned. This is a message from our 11th Imam for us. He ends by saying, وَبِحَاظَ جاء محمد صلى الله عليه وآله He says these are the teachings with which Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم came. And so Imam in a way is summarizing some of the important points from the teachings of the Prophet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among the true followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad inshaAllah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلي إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. والأئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما أحيا سار البدء والطغيان هادمي أبنية الشرك والنفاق حاسد فل البغي والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آباء الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.